All of the readings today talk about the call to discipleship and our willingness to respond to God's call. And to respond to God's call isn't easy. I'll be the first one to tell you that it's not easy. It's very hard. I remember after my graduation from high school, I decided to join a religious order called the Redemptorists. And they were based down in Texas. And having to tell my parents that I'm going to go down to Texas from Wichita, Kansas, the other Wichita, they said, "Are you sure?" And I still remember that day when I said my farewell to my mom. And a lot of emotion and sentiments were stirred deep from within. And I looked at her and I asked her, "Mom, will you be okay? Will you be okay?" And she looked at me and she said, "Go, do what God asks of you, and He will take care of the rest." And I left Wichita to come down to Texas. And I remember the first few weeks were really hard. As a matter of fact, the first semester of college was really hard away from home, was extremely hard. But yet, I began to pray, and I said to the Lord each night, "Lord, even though I am far away from my family at this time, you know that I love them and I care for them. And I ask that you care for them in ways that I cannot right now." And I began to learn how to care for my family, not in the physical or filial way, but in the very trusting and spiritual ways. The call to discipleship isn't easy, because real faith requires real living of the Lord's teaching, divine commandments, and the moral life as well. It isn't just by empty words or to pick and choose what we like and comfortable for us. My brothers and sisters, we have seen and lived with those people who talked a lot and promised a lot, who came to us when they need something from us or call only when something is wrong. Even though we have tried to be there and to care for them, we know deep from within it's very hard not to feel that we're being taken advantage of, being used, and only needed when it's convenient. It isn't a good feeling, and it's hard to choose to love and care for those people wholeheartedly. And imagine that with the life of faith. To say that we believe isn't about choosing what is convenient for us and beneficial for us. We cannot just be sitting on our personal thrones and expect things to be catered to our needs, always saying that the church and the world need to change and be better before we are committed or do something. Too many times we have put ourselves on a throne or pedestal in order to be served instead of to serve, leave our expectations and demands behind to follow and to become disciples of Christ. In a consumeristic world, everything can be bought, customized, or made to meet our wants if we have enough money, enough power, and enough influence. We have transferred this mindset too to the life of faith. We think that we can choose a flavor of faith that we like and fit our needs. We only want what fits us and what makes us feel good, having our own, aka, quote unquote, buffet of appealing choices and dessert to top it off. We worry a lot about our rights and our freedom to do whatever we want without knowing that true freedom for us as Christians is found in letting go of the things of this world as to be free to love in Christ Jesus. Instead of allowing the transformative power of grace and the love of the gospel to set us free, we like to chain the Savior and His teachings to our standards. But in turn, we continue to be enslaved by the things of this world. So oftentimes we have cheapened the gospel and make it into a placebo effect that distracts, that takes our minds away and make us feel good for a moment before we return to the same old enslavement and codependent relationship with this world. Sooner or later, and we see it now, that God becomes just a word to be thrown out in conversations, but we live our everyday life without faith because we stop believing. Because we think deep down nothing changes. We become cynical, drifting through life, not trusting anything or anyone because life itself is no longer worth living. We become people who just drift, looking for some small pleasures, yet so hopeless and filled with despair. And if you've been listening, this is the same spiral track of an addict, looking for some small escape from the redundancy of life, its emptiness and sorrows, but not courageous enough to let go of what is enslaving them. My brothers and sisters, we can see these signs everywhere. These pathological signs, from increasing in school shooting, high rises in the opioid epidemic that we see around, a dramatic increase of self-medication with means not only with alcohol, but also hard drugs and dangerous substances, as well as over-objectification and sexualization of people. All these things are being ignored, muffled, and not being paid attention for by our society. But they're all cries for help from the toxics of this world. These signs tell us that many people are lost. They're not happy with themselves. Yet all we ever hear on the internet, television and the news are simply talks about small problems getting magnified at big ones, while the important ones are being ignored, swept under the carpet, and not talked about because everyone we know are affected and only like to focus on the apparent social issues that concern their immediate freedom and rights, especially what is wrong when they do not get what they want now. My brothers and sisters, we have become a society that worry too much about external beauties, focusing on small scratches, but stressing out on normal bruises of life. However, we are ignorant of the internal problems, the gangrene and the cancers that eat us alive deep from within. Our saviors want us to face these things that hurt us, that destroying our society. But we have to open up. We have to let go. And we have to follow him. We need to stop giving the excuse of, "Not yet, Lord. This is not for me. Call someone else. If not today, then when? If not now, when will we ever say yes to him?" My brothers and sisters, we might not be perfect, but we can all start somewhere. If we fail, stand up and walk with him again. He only asks that we are humble, persevere, and return to him when we stray away. The Savior always leaves the light on for us and waiting for us to come back. How do we know? The first light that we see when we enter every Catholic church is the light to the tabernacle. He's there, waiting for us to visit, and waiting to listen to us. Second one, When the priest is in the confessional, the light is also on. The Lord is waiting eagerly to forgive us of our sins and of our failures. My brothers and sisters, it's hard to say yes to God, especially when we don't know what's going to happen next, when we are unsure of our future. However, we can all say yes by trusting not in something, but in someone who's always faithful to us. Let us be disciples in following the Savior as to love and to live in true freedom and the fullness of His love for us. Because without Christ Jesus, there isn't real happiness. We only chase after things that make us addicted and codependent and make us always short because we are never happy. But with Jesus Christ, even though the life of faith and the journey of faith will be hard, it's worthwhile, for He is always there with us. Therefore, be disciple. Dare to bring Jesus Christ in your words, your action, and bring people to Him.